Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Zen Teachings of Huangpo on the Transmission of Mind presents the uncompromising voice of the Tang Dynasty Chan Master Huangbo Shiyuan, a major figure in the lineage that shaped later Zen. The book is widely known through translations and commentary that preserve a direct, dialogue-based style short talks, encounters, and sharp answers meant to cut through conceptual thinking. Rather than offering meditation instructions in a step-by-step format, Huangbo points to what Chan calls mind, the immediate reality prior to opinions, labels, and self-image. Readers encounter a teacher who repeatedly warns against chasing experiences, clinging to scriptures, or turning practice into a project of self-improvement. The text emphasizes sudden insight and the immediacy of awakening, while also showing how easy it is to miss what is closest. As a result, it reads both as a spiritual manifesto and a practical challenge to ordinary habits of thought. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, mind as the only essential pointing. A central theme associated with Huangbo is the insistence that mind is the starting point and the destination, not an object to be found somewhere else. The teaching does not treat mind as personal psychology, but as the fundamental nature in which all experience appears. From this perspective, seeking becomes the primary obstacle. The moment you look for mind as a thing, you split reality into seeker and sought, and the split is precisely the delusion. Huangbo, therefore, aims to collapse that division by pointing to immediacy. The teaching challenges the reader to notice how quickly awareness is covered by commentary such as I am practicing, I am improving, I am failing. Instead of polishing a self, the instruction is to recognize what is already present before the narrative begins. This is also why the book can feel stark. It offers little comfort to the part of us that wants spiritual progress as a measurable achievement. The reader is pushed to examine the subtle ways desire, fear, and identity hijack practice. In modern terms, the text can be read as training in non-objectifying awareness, letting experience be experience without turning it into a concept, possession, or story. With the payoff is a grounded clarity that is not dependent on mood or circumstance. Secondly, no seeking, no attainment, and the trap of spiritual ambition, Huangbo is frequently presented as warning that the search for attainment is itself the barrier. This does not mean practice is useless, but that practice driven by grasping recreates the very restlessness it hopes to cure. The book presses a difficult point: even refined spiritual goals can be forms of greed. Wanting awakening, special states, or certainty can become another version of chasing pleasure and avoiding pain. Huangbo counters this by emphasizing non-attachment and the futility of treating awakening as a trophy. When you imagine an awakened you in the future, you strengthen the sense of a deficient you in the present. The teaching invites a shift from accumulation to relinquishment, from acquiring answers to seeing through the compulsion to have them. This can be applied practically by noticing how the mind negotiates with itself. I will be at peace once conditions change, once I understand more, once I meditate better. Huangbo aims to cut that bargain. The point is not passivity, but a different kind of effort, steady sincerity without a self-centered payoff. For readers, this topic becomes a mirror for modern productivity culture, where even inner work is managed like a career ladder. The book argues for freedom now, not later, and for a practice that is honest enough to let go of the person who wants credit for practicing. Thirdly, direct pointing beyond words and the limits of doctrine. This text is often associated with the Chan stance that true understanding is not captured by language, even though language is used as a tool. Huangbo addresses the paradox by using words to undermine reliance on words. Teachings, concepts, and sacred texts can guide, but they can also become substitutes for realization. The book repeatedly points to the gap between intellectual comprehension and direct seeing. A reader may agree with a statement about emptiness or non-duality and still remain trapped in habitual identification. Huangbo therefore employs a style that can feel abrupt, designed to interrupt the mind that wants to file everything into neat categories. The emphasis on direct transmission highlights relationship and immediacy. Insight is awakened through encounter, not merely through study. In a contemporary reading, this topic speaks to information overload and the belief that more content equals more wisdom. Huangbo suggests the opposite. The mind becomes clear not by adding, but by stopping the compulsive naming and comparing. This does not reject learning, but reframes it. Study becomes supportive when it points back to experience and loosens dogmatism. The reader is encouraged to test the teaching in real time by noticing the moment concepts arise, and by asking whether the concept is a pointer or a prison. In this way, the book becomes a training manual in intellectual humility and experiential verification. Fourthly, seen through form, emptiness, and the construction of self, Huangbo is commonly presented as emphasizing emptiness in a practical Chan sense phenomena appear, but they lack a fixed, independent essence. The point is not nihilism, but liberation from clinging. When the mind treats experiences, roles, and emotions as solid, it suffers by trying to control what is inherently fluid. The book directs attention to how the self is assembled from thoughts, memories, and preferences, then defended as if it were permanent. By seeing this construction clearly, the practitioner is less pushed around by praise and blame, success and failure. The teaching also reframes everyday life. If forms are not ultimately graspable, then nothing needs to be possessed to be complete. This does not deny responsibility or ethics, but it changes the emotional contract you can act wholeheartedly without making identity out of outcomes. For modern readers, this topic is relevant to anxiety and self-branding, where personal value is constantly measured. Kwangbo invites a different basis for stability, not a perfected persona, but a clear awareness that is not limited by the persona. The practical application is to observe how quickly the mind reifies, turning events into threats or trophies. As reification relaxes, compassion can appear more naturally, because others are no longer filtered primarily through self-interest. Emptiness becomes a lived openness rather than an abstract doctrine. Lastly, everyday practice, sudden insight, and the discipline of simplicity. Although Huangbo is often linked with sudden awakening, the teaching does not imply that life becomes careless or that discipline is irrelevant. Instead, it presents a rigorous simplicity return again and again to what is immediate, and stop feeding the mental habits that create division. Sudden insight is described as recognizing what has always been the case, yet sustaining that recognition requires ongoing honesty. The book therefore encourages a practice that is not dependent on special settings. Daily activities become the arena where grasping and aversion are seen. In this view, meditation is not a separate compartment, but an intensification of ordinary awareness. The discipline is subtle refrain from turning each moment into a problem to solve. This can look like simplicity in attention, patience with discomfort, and a willingness to not know. Huangbo also challenges performative religiosity, urging practitioners to avoid making a show of holiness while the mind remains tangled. For readers, this topic translates into practical guidance for living reduce the noise of unnecessary preferences. Watch the impulse to take sides inside your own mind, and notice how quickly you abandon the present for an imagined better moment. The result is not a mystical escape, but a clearer participation in life. Sudden insight and daily practice are not opposites here. Insight reveals simplicity, and practice is the repeated decision to not complicate what is already clear. In conclusion, this book suits readers drawn to classical Zen and Chan sources, especially those who want a direct, no-frills approach, rather than inspirational modern paraphrase. It is also valuable for meditators who feel stuck in striving, chasing peak experiences, or treating practice as self-optimization. Kwangbo offers a bracing corrective by pointing to what is immediate and by exposing how subtle attachment hides inside spiritual goals. The benefit is practical when you begin to see through the reflex, to grasp and label. Everyday stress can loosen, relationships can feel less defensive, and decisions can become simpler because they are less driven by self-image. Compared with many similar Zen books, this work stands out for its intensity and clarity. It does not primarily teach technique, it challenges the assumptions behind the desire for technique and forces the reader to examine the one who wants results. That makes it a strong companion to meditation manuals and a useful counterweight to overly conceptual Buddhism. It is worth buying because it provides a foundational Chan perspective from a major historical voice, offering a compact but powerful map of Zen. Stop seeking outside. Stop turning words into substitutes and verify mind in your own experience. If you would like to support Huangpo Hizyun, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.